This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. 19 years ago this month, the only living barrier reef system in the continental United States suffered severe damage when a freighter smashed through it off Key Largo, Florida. What had been described as one of the most beautiful and ecologically diverse reefs in the world suddenly had a huge hole. Well, now some dedicated volunteers are trying to restore the reef. NPR's Philip Davis has this report.
There had been shipwrecks before at Molasses Reef. Indeed, locals say the reef owes its name to the fact that long ago a ship loaded with molasses sank in these same waters. But none hurt the reef the way the 400-foot MS Wellwood did back in August of 1984 when it wandered miles off course on its way to Portugal. U.S. officials and divers raced to the scene, which was inside a marine sanctuary, and what they saw, captured on this archival footage, dismayed them.
We are finding individual coral heads are just ground and pulverized.
And we're talking about a coral that probably take 200, 300, 400 years to grow back.
It is more damage than we've seen done to any reef in the sanctuary in quite a while. Yeah.
The U.S. government sued the shipping company and eventually won a $6.5 million settlement to pay for damages and restore Molasses Reef. But it was only in the last year or so that the money came through and sanctuary officials were able to begin restoration of the 5,000 square meter area. At the offices of the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary, Harold Hudson is known as the Reef Doctor. A retired marine biologist, he's devoted himself to saving Molasses Reef. At the sanctuary's headquarters, he showed off his pride and joy, 5-foot-high, 3,000-pound artificial reef replacements, crafted by hand from gray cement and Florida limestone.
And as you can see, there's lots of little nooks and crannies, hidey holes, and inside this module is a reef cave. It's actually open inside so that the eels, lobsters, shrimp, crustaceans can get in there and hide and get away from their predators.
Over the past year, some 24 of these structures have been lowered into the barren parts of Molasses Reef and anchored to the bottom. The idea is that live coral will attach to the modules and grow outward, and that the structures will help provide habitat. The question is, do they work? To find out, Hudson and other scientists regularly visit. On this day, waiting for them is a group of volunteer diving data collectors from the Reef Environmental Education Foundation, a group based in the Keys.
If you want to give me a line, I can tie you on. You'll be
Man, I was hoping you would say that. That would really help us.
Once the boats are tied together, Hudson previews what's going to happen.
I'm going to go in now and take a look. We have some fish monitoring people down there from Reef, and they're counting the number of fish species that are now inhabiting this new restored area and comparing it with the natural, undamaged part of the reef.
In a few minutes, scuba gear on and armed with waterproof markers, clipboards, and underwater video cameras, Hudson and the group plunge in. An underwater camera records the scene 20 feet below. The artificial reefs have changed. After just 1 year in the clear blue water, the structures are covered with fresh coral, seagrasses, and sponges. Swarms of shrimp dart about the openings, feeding on smaller marine life. Schools of fish flit nearby. Back on the boat, the divers discuss what they've seen. Laddie Atkins is executive director of the Reef Foundation. He's been monitoring the return of life to the reef for a year.
I think one of the most interesting things is how quickly it's happened. I never would have guessed that we would see those changes this fast. One of the interesting things we saw was that immediately after the artificial structures went in, we had huge abundances of the algae grazing fish, like the surgeon fish, moving in on the artificial structure. And now slowly over time, and we're starting to see some of the other reef fish come in, like the hogfish and the wrasse, and even some of the predators, like the big permit and jacks, moving in on the artificial structure.
Yet there are still visible gouges in the sea bottom left over from the wreck. Hudson allows that he might never see the reef return to the state it was before the Wellwood incident.
Our grandchildren may see it, but probably not us. This is something that takes, realistically, 100 years or better to really become what it was before the ship hit.
But he hopes that the work that he and others who love Molasses Reef have done will give nature a jumpstart in healing itself. Philip Davis, NPR News.